your country cannot be wealthy if you do not take care of your poor. And the more impoverished people are, the less wealthy a country is. And this goes for every country, not just, I mean, obviously we live here, but like how we take care of those who have less than us is how we take care of each other, truly.
Welcome to the Be It Till You See It podcast, where we talk about taking messy action, knowing that perfect is boring. I'm Leslie Logan, Pilates instructor and fitness business coach. I've trained thousands of people around the world, and the number one thing I see stopping people from achieving anything is self-doubt. My friends, action brings clarity, and it's the antidote to fear. Each week, my guests will bring bold, executable, intrinsic, and targeted steps that you can use to put yourself first and be it till you see it. It's a practice, not a perfect. Let's get started.
Welcome back to the Be It Till You See It interview recap, where my co-host in life, Brad, and I are going to dig into the inclusionary convo I had with Rebecca Baruki in our last episode. If you haven't yet listened to that episode, go back and listen to it because holy freaking moly.
She's a powerhouse.
She's a powerhouse. She's a badass. She's like just all the things amazing. Just all the things amazing. So you should just pause this. Go listen to that and come back. Or you can listen to this first because you're here and maybe you're, you know, got your hands wet, and then make sure your podcast plays right into the one from Tuesday. Before we get into Rebecca's amazing words, today is March 21st, 2024, and it is both World Poetry Day and Companies That Care Day. So I couldn't pick because I liked them both because one, poetry, Rebecca's the founder of a publishing house. So like, and she's a writer. So that kind of made sense. And then Companies That Care, she is a company that cares. So I kind of like that both landed on this day. World Poetry Day was actually invented by UNESCO in 1999. So it's all here to like protect poetry. And I am not a good poetry writer, but shout out to Allison Whipple, who is one of our agency members, who's like very humble, but also a very, very published poet and does some amazing work. And then Companies That Care. You know what? You tell us about your company that you know that cares. But basically what that is like companies are supposed to start to recognize that it's their employees that are, if their employees are happy, they are a better company. So they should give some fucks about the people that they hire, period. End of story.
Yeah.
Okay. So upcoming events and travel and such. I'm actually getting on a plane tomorrow to go to Dallas.
Yeah. What?
Yeah. But when I get back, Brad has an amazing 2-hour workshop for Pilates instructors and business owners.
Oh, yes, I do. It's called the Studio Growth Accelerator, and y'all should join me. So basically, we are going to be digging into our new Excel formula, ACCEL. It's going to be a deep dive into how we can create, jumpstart, kickstart, actually generate the growth that your studio needs to have. So if you are feeling like you have been stuck, you're looking for clients, you are making the same money you had last year, you just can't get the ball moving forward, this accelerator is for you. And you can join me by going to prfit.biz/accelerator. That's prfit.biz/accelerator. It's going to be a 2-hour workshop. You know, our 2-hour hangout, we'll probably talk for about 90 minutes and then we'll do Q&A or something. So, yeah, come join me.
And then we're getting up. We've been planning all day today that we're recording this summer camp. Oh my gosh. So last year at OPC, onlinepilatesclasses.com, we did our first ever summer camp. There were 6 teachers. It was super, super fun. This particular year, I want to do it bigger and better and badder and more. I think just like true summer camp vibes without the bunk beds, without the bugs, without the travel, and there is access.
Without the terrible roommate.
Yeah, you won't have a terrible roommate. You won't have like crappy food.
Your parents won't be dropping you off.
Like fake cheese, you know, like no. You'll be able to attend from the comfort of your own home with your camera off if you want to. And you'll have lifetime access to the replays, which is super, super amazing. So want to go to opc.me/workshops, opc.me/workshops. You want to be on the wait list if you want to get the best. Well, actually, you want to be an OPC member if you want to get the best early bird price.
OPC members are getting the hookup here.
They are. And then people on the wait list get the next hookup. And then those who are neither of those get the next hookup, which is not as good as the first hookup or the second one. True. So just so you know. And then finally, as we're recording this, we actually only have like how many spots left in Cambodia?
Two. Okay. Spots left.
And actually, before this episode comes out,
somebody's already
doing an email. A mass email to their people So it's quite possible by the time you listen to this, it is actually sold out.
However,
we've already planned 2025.
That's right.
Yeah. So you actually can purchase your spot now for the February 2025 retreat.
And I would recommend you do it because this one sold out real fast.
It didn't even take 2 months. It's insane. Yeah. And so we're super, super excited about this. It's our very special retreat. It's really magical. And we actually got to hang out with a couple of our Cambodia retreaters in real life here in Las Vegas. And they were talking about all the amazing stuff that they took away from it and like implemented right away. So I just love that. So anyways, crowsnestretreats.com. Crows, that's a plural, nestretreats.com. All right, before we get into Rebecca's amazingness, what is our audience question, Brad?
Yeah, we had a great one from Angela today on Instagram. She's asking, have you any experience with upholstery cracking on your reformers? The studio I work for has Merrithew reformers, and it seems to be a recurring issue. I'm wondering if the cleaners they're using are too harsh. And the boss says it's just human skin oils, but I've not had this problem with mine at home, nor have I heard about it from other teachers who use other brands like Legacy or Balanced Body.
Okay, Angela. So here's the deal. If it was body oil, it would not be cracking it. It would actually be like moisturizing it or like oiling it. Like it's actually like oil is actually really great.
Oil isn't going to dry it out.
Now, I will say this. You didn't ask for this, but there are some and manufacturers, and I won't name names because I'm not interested in being yelled at, but where whatever they use to coat the wood of their, I'll tell you who it's not. It doesn't happen on my Contrology, but there are some wood push-through bars and also wood reformers that whatever they use to like shine up the wood, when you use cleaner on it, human sweat makes it sticky. So that is awful and gross and like, I will never buy that brand of equipment because you can't unfix that. But as far as upholstery cracking, it is 100% the material you're using and
not material.
Cleaning the cleaning solution. Supply. Yeah.
Like if they're using Pine Sol on it.
Well, yeah, you should not be using that.
Crack.
Also, if you're using you want to make sure that any of those wipes you're using, because now that we're in a post-COVID world, like everybody wants to use these like wipes. The thing about those is like, one, it's a lot more trash. Two, it might not be allowed on your equipment. Just because it's allowed on gym equipment doesn't mean it's allowed on Pilates equipment. And so I like Balanced Bodies Cleaner. It's really easy. You can get a big bottle, you take a capful, you add some water, and it's super, super easy to clean. A lot of people will use tea tree oil. And I know I said oil and oil makes it oily. But the truth is that there's something in the tea tree oil that actually will dry out equipment over time and make a crack or upholstery over time and make a crack. So I don't have a ton of people coming to my equipment. So I do use a method spray on a towel because, again, it's happening like once a day, if that, on my equipment. In my old studio, I would use like a method soap if I ran out of the Balanced Body, and I put a few drops in water and that got it really clean. But also you will always need to use a little soft bristle toothbrush with a microfiber towel to get the skin out of your equipment because, oh my gosh, there's little grooves and like it's gross. It's so gross. And just because equipment is a darker color doesn't mean it's not happening. It just means you're not seeing it. But 100%, whatever you're using is too harsh for that upholstery. And you may want to go to the manufacturers of that upholstery and find out what they recommend you clean it with, because it's quite possible they're using different material than what you mentioned the other brands.
It's also possible that maybe it's in direct sunlight.
Oh, that is also. So what happens with direct sunlight is, and that's why we put blankets on our equipment in the house because of the sun here.
It'll make the, because it's wrapped around a little bit around the edges and And it can become brittle if the sun is baking it.
Yeah.
And then it will crack along the edges.
And it also makes it really hard to spin around on. So like I used to get on a ladder barrel that was in a window, and you could never slide on the ladder barrel because it would like had just like dried it out. So yeah, you guys, this stuff is amazing. This equipment's amazing. It will last you years if you take care of it. But if you're using the wrong cleaner, you're gonna have to repulsor it. And that thing about upholstery is eventually you have to reupholster it. I bought extra shoulder blocks because, you know, you hit it the wrong way, it can definitely hit a tear. So,
We dropped our reformer box and it split the corner, unfortunately. You know, like stuff happens. So,
yeah. If you have a question you would like us to answer. It can be anything. It doesn't have to be Pilates.
It could be anything.
Could be anything. We are happy to answer it. And so you just have to send it to the Beat Pod.
Loves, it's here. OPC Summer Camp. You know, that thing we started last year? Well, we're doing it again this year, and we're making it bigger and better than ever because we have teachers from all over the world, which means all day long, you can nerd out with me at Camp Zoom from the comfort of your own home in your favorite Pilates workout outfit without having to get bugs or dirt or weird camp food that's like some weird slaw. No, you can have the amazing food from your own home. You can be whatever clothes you want to be in, and you can join us all day long for whatever workouts and workshops you sign up for. In fact, you can even do a whole day pass and save the most money. In fact, up to 56% off if you buy the day pass. So go to opc.me/events to see the full schedule and lineup of events. If you only have access to a mat, we've got plenty of stuff for you. We've got reformer. We've got some happy hip reformer with you. We've got so many amazing things. You can go to opc.me/events to see the whole schedule, all 14 teachers, and all the goodness that's going to happen at Camp Zoom. And I'm your camp director. Woo!
All right, now let's talk about Rebecca Baruki. Rebecca is the author of children's books, founder and president of Row House Publishing, and has been transforming the literary world by fostering equitable practices for marginalized authors. With a background shaped by adversity and activism, she passionately redefines publishing norms. She ensures access to diverse books for children in underserved communities, embodying the change she seeks in the industry.
Yeah, she's cool.
This was a really inspiring interview. I just really felt empowered by the decisions she made. The frustrations that she felt frustrated me too. And then hearing what she decided to do about it was really cool to hear. I also was laughing because she was like, yeah, I definitely didn't know what I was getting myself into when I was like, well, fuck you. I'm going to make my own publishing company.
I know. I think it's probably better that she didn't. Because you know what? It's like if you know too much, it's like becomes overwhelming. So yeah, if you don't know what you're getting into, it becomes easier.
You just do it.
But you guys have, if you did not listen, you have to listen to this because Brad and I talk about values a lot. Like, what are our values and like how we filter decisions through our values? And like, not everything's going to go the way you want to. But like, she was sitting in a room realizing like this, it's they're not doing right by people. Yeah.
She was signed to a publishing group. She had an agent, all the things going well, and they were dickheads.
Yeah. And she did like, and this is like something like, so, cause I mean, so many writers would be like, oh my God, if I'm a publisher, I've got an agent, I've got all the things, I made it. And she's been published and she stuck with her values and she marched off and she created Row House Publishing. And I also, it's another thing, just like another little highlight you all should have picked up, which is like, niching to a specific type of genre, which is you can write about any kind of genre as long as it's in the lens of social justice.
Yeah. I thought that was pretty cool because a lot of publishers will pick like, we do fantasy or we do science books or whatever, you know, but her niche is can cross multiple genres.
Yeah.
Because it's about a topic or standing for something. And I also thought she niched down even more. She said you had to further a conversation in a way that hasn't been, you know, furthered yet. So it's not like she's intentionally trying to move the conversation forward with the books that the company's publishing, which I thought was pretty cool.
I mean, so cool. Like just, I mean, I feel like, I don't know, maybe she sat down one day and was like, wouldn't it be cool if, and then that's what she created because it's freaking cool.
Yeah.
And I actually reached out to Kelly Forkabrock, who is a romance novel that we've had on.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't know if you want to write a romance novel in this lens, but I think you'd really love Rebecca and I think you'd love Row House Publishing. So just saying.
Cool. That's fun. That's really fun.
Anyways, one of the things we talked about that I really liked, and this is her word, so I want to make sure, you know, that she's like, it is up to us to stand up and say something. And then she also said, it's up to us to share and redistribute wealth. We had nothing and we were constantly giving. So I can't resonate with her life in that way, but I remember like my family didn't have any money and we were constantly like taking people in and feeding people. And I'm like, we have no money. Like, what are we doing? But like my parents never let that stop, like making sure people got taken care of. And it's really interesting. I think a lot of people don't realize how important that is and they don't do it. And like her family had nothing and they were constantly giving. And she took that redistribution of wealth as part of like how into her values and how she does what she does. And that's why her publishing company actually pays authors a wage that they can live off of. Because like, I mean, that's the biggest thing we hear with all of our friends who are authors. It's like, well, you sell a book, but you like make nothing.
Yeah, like
you make speaking, you make money off of speaking later.
Yeah, I mean, that's the big joke in the publishing industry. Unless you're like, you know, you have, you know, you're on the news every day. You don't have enough reach to generate the demand so that you can go to a publishing company and say, pay me upfront, you know, X amount of dollars. So, you know, for this book, most publishing companies will be like, I'll give you, you know, I'll pay you a little bit and it's not much, right? So, you know, everybody that we talk to in our circles says, yeah, I use my book as my loss leader. I use my book as my lead magnet, you know, all this kind of stuff because they're, you know, it seems dim that you're going to get something that's like a legit.
And you know, here's the thing that whenever I hear that, it kind of pisses me off a little bit. And
publishing deal.
Yeah, it just kind of pisses me off because I'm like, it's kind of like when I started teaching Pilates and everyone's like, oh no, you just charge less than that person and they charge less than this person. And we all are just a happy family of no one making any money and always like not having enough. And I kind of love that she's bucking the system, staying true to her values, and then using the money her company is making to redistribute wealth, to put it in hands of people who are furthering conversations, who are bringing things to light, who are getting things into, because, you know, here's the thing about books, you guys, there are things that happen in books that change your perspective of how you think about something, how you see something. I'm listening to a book on Audible right now that I just am, my mind is blown in every single chapter. I really just think it's cool how she's gotten to where she is and she's just hitting the ground running and not stopping until she gets this message out there and changes the publishing world.
I really loved when she was talking about the old guard versus the reality of life today.
Yeah.
You know, for me, I struggle with this a lot. As you know, Leslie and I follow a lot of politics. So I'm actually, I stay aware of what's going on in the US Congress, in the Senate, in the House, you know, and then also internationally, because we travel so much to Cambodia. And it's really frustrating when someone who, you know, has like generational wealth, who's a billionaire and has an opinion, can just write a big fat check. And then it like throws a wrench into supporting people.
Yeah.
And that makes me angry. And so listening.
Well, it's so fucking frustrating. Since you brought it up, here's what's frustrating. Because your country cannot be wealthy if you do not take care of your poor. And the more impoverished people are, the less wealthy a country is. And this goes for every country, not just, I mean, obviously we live here, but like how we take care of those who have less than us is how we take care of each other, truly. And it is really frustrating that like some of the things and changes that happen, even from the people we voted for, it's like, okay, so we're just going to take this little morsel because that's what we got from the old guard. You know what I mean? Well, like a change is so freaking slow, it pisses me off.
Yeah, and that's where like taking a stand in her choice to work with a company that was literally the old guard. And, you know, she said five of their authors were the biggest disinformation books when it came to COVID vaccines.
Yeah.
And she said, I had a problem with that. And, you know, but the people in the room were like, yeah, but it makes us money. So we don't actually give a shit.
And here's the thing that's crazy. This is why I truly believe her publishing company is going to be doing amazing things, because the way that the old publishing houses were doing it and the way the old media outlets are doing it, they're all dying. They are not making money because they were always trying to please the people at the top with the money. And they were not actually paying attention to the people who watch the programs, who read the programs.
Yeah. And so, she, you know, and you know, what was crazy to me to hear at the end, like, so obviously she started Row House Publishing with a mission. And they're, you know, she said they're an activist company, but they also, you know, they've grown, right? So they have had small donations to get the ball rolling, but they clearly had large donors because one of the things that they decided to take a stand for, the large donor decided to pull a $500,000 contribution from what they were trying to do. And that's fucking terrifying, but it's also insane. It's also crazy that, you know, someone has that kind of leverage, that kind of power, and how dramatic that can affect a small company, you know? And kudos for her for, you know, buckling down, going back to what they do, which is, you know, reach out to their community and, you know, rally around each other and support each other. That is really inspiring. You know, but, you know, she said ownership really needs to be in the hands of marginalized people just because they know how to get things done.
Yep.
Because they don't have the luxury of being like, well, just reach into my empty $8 billion pocketbook thing.
Yeah. They've always had to like figure it out. And so they figure it, like they can figure it out and they can figure it out in ways that can take big dollars and make them go further than people with the big dollars could ever have done.
And honestly, not only that, I really think that when you go through like the fire and come out the other side and then can make money, raise money, have that influence, you will do different things with it.
Yeah.
You just appreciate it differently.
Yeah. Well, also, I mean, like, you know how important even a little bit can impact someone's life. Like Rebecca has the charity that that brings books to children, right? And like the power of reading at a young age and having access to books.
Yeah.
It like these are big deal things. They're not small. And the things that get cut for places where there is not enough money are the things that actually can change the world.
I'll tell you, like, it blows my mind because, you know, many years ago, you all have heard me talk about Cambodia ad nauseum, but many years ago, a friend of mine moved to Cambodia and he made it seem possible for me to get there. And years after being there, he said, yeah, you know, every family that works for me, I require them to send their kids to school and they have to check in. And the school tells me if the kids don't show up for school. He said, this is a country of extreme wealth and extreme poverty. And he said, I believe wholeheartedly that education is going to be the factor that changes that. And unfortunately, it's just slow going, but that's what needs to happen. And as an American, I was like, well, we got that fucking box checked. Well, good kudos for us. And over the last, you know, 8 years, you know, really paying attention to politics and starting to learn more about the education in our country, I'm shocked at the lack of consistency across the, our, you know, we have 50 different states and we have 8,000 different, literally 8,000 different municipalities that have different laws. And it's crazy. It's crazy to me.
Yeah, it's really, it is. And it's really sad because the way that education is paid for is based off of property taxes,
right?
Which means if you live in a poor area, there are no property taxes. People are renters, which means the schools get the least amount of support,
right?
Are the ones that if you gave that them the it. Most,
yeah.
they would change the world. It would be generational change.
It's, yeah.
My mother is a teacher. I have a special place in my heart for teachers. You all do so much. You get paid so little. And now they don't even teach cursive anymore.
Yeah, I know.
I don't even understand. Like, why not? Why just? Anyways, oh, we can go on and on. I fucking love her. And I do agree with her that when you give people who have been marginalized, when you give them ownership, they will make absolute amazing change. Yeah. And we
she need said to- when that shifts for everyone, when there are more female leaders, Black, brown, disabled, queer leaders. She said, when that shifts, everything is going to shift for everybody.
For everybody.
For everybody.
It will really, truly will. So I can't wait to see that happen. You know, maybe I'll pray.
All right, loves, it's super important to me that supplements I take are of the highest quality. And that's why for 3 years, I've been drinking AG1. Unlike many supplement brands, AG1 is constantly searching for how to do things better. At 52 iterations of their formula and counting, their team is always trying to find better ways to source, test, and aim to find the best quality ingredients available. I love this so much, guys, because so many people think I have to get it right the first time, and they have done 52 different iterations. I freaking love that. So many people have asked me if AG1 is actually the real deal. I really do drink it, and trust me, there's a reason why I've been drinking it for so long. Quality for AG1 isn't just a buzzword. It's a commitment backed by expert-led scientific research, high-quality ingredients, industry-leading manufacturing, and rigorous testing. At each step of the process, AG1 goes above and beyond industry standards. I know I can trust what's in every scoop of AG1 because it's tested for 950 contaminants and banned substances, while the industry standard typically only tests for 10. Holy moly. I know that like I'm a recovering overachiever over here, but I'm super glad AG1 isn't. Okay, so taking care of my health shouldn't be complicated, and AG1 simplifies this by replacing multiple health supplements like multivitamins, digestive aids, immune support, and more in just one simple scoop. It's literally just one scoop. It's one scoop in one bottle of water. It's amazing. AG1's ingredients are heavily researched for efficacy and quality, and I love that every scoop also includes prebiotics, probiotics, and digestive enzymes for gut support. Y'all know I've had gut stuff, so that's why I've been doing it for so long. I've partnered with AG1 for so long because they make such a high quality product that I genuinely look forward to drinking every day. So if you want to replace your multivitamin and more, start with AG1. Try AG1 and get a free 1-year supply of vitamin D3 and K2 and 5 free AG1 travel packs with your first subscription at drinkag1.com/beit. That's drinkag1.com/BEIT. Check it out.
Okay, finally, let's talk about those Be It action items. What bold, executable, intrinsic, or targeted action items can we take away from your conversation with Rebecca Baruki? She said, as soon as you have a dream or an idea, start talking about it. Talk about it. Do not wait until you have the perfect presentation. Start ideating, dreaming, discussing. It will help you figure that out. It'll help it come to shape, come to life. When you have other people to help bounce ideas off of, she said, enlisting, it will help effectively enlist an accountability partner. And she said, Rebecca did the same thing when she wrote her children's book. She said, I'm going to write a children's book, by X date. And then she called a friend and said, here's what I want to do. Hold me accountable. Right. And by talking about it, she was able to make it happen. I think the hard thing about this is the fear of failure.
Right.
Right. You know, the fear that like this grandiose dream that you may have that honestly, maybe it's not even that grandiose, but this dream that you have, if it doesn't come together, you're going to let yourself down. You're going to let others down, you know, all those kinds of things. And I definitely understand that. I really wanted to go to music school and I was auditioning to get a scholarship and I was really afraid that I was, you know, wasn't going to get into school. So I didn't really tell that many people that I literally was taking trombone lessons after high school. I would go and take like sessions with a professional player, you know, and I would go practice on my own. And people were like, where are you going? And I wouldn't tell them because what if I auditioned and I failed, you know?
Yeah.
You know, but imagine if I had instead shared and said, I'm going to go do this because I want to go get the scholarship, the encouragement and support that would have helped me.
Oh my gosh. It's so true. It's so true. I loved when she talked about community, of course. That Be It action is amazing. So she said, be in community on any level with others in the practice of giving, but also, and this is the part I loved, receiving. Because I think a lot of people will like go, oh, I'm doing this thing and I'm doing this thing and I'm giving, 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 but you're never receiving. And it's really important to receive because you learn so much more about yourself and others. And then you have the ability to give when you have the ability to give. She also said, build those relationships. There are ones that will sustain you mentally. And then there are some that can sustain you financially if you need it. And it puts you in the spirit of feeling that you are doing good. And then also, she said this, also advocate and be an activist in your own way. And I think that's really cool. I think sometimes we think of the word activist and we think we have to like be out screaming with a poster somewhere, but you don't have to be that.
No.
You can be an activist in your own family, making sure they vote. I can be an activist right now. I'm going to advocate for all of you, wherever you live. If you are allowed to vote, if you are actually allowed to vote where you live, you must do it. You owe it to yourself to do it. And for those of you who live in the States, I'm going to tell you right now, make sure you're registered. Yeah. Double check, do all the things, make sure your family is. I don't care if you don't like all options. You have, like, I vote in the advocacy of others. I'm always thinking of other people when I choose the person I'm voting for.
Yeah.
And like, that is my way of being an activist and an advocate. And it's not big, it's not huge. And other ways you can be an activist or an advocate is like charitable work. Like you can actually donate. Like if you don't have the time, if you have some money, you can give it to them, right? Or you can connect people who might have the money that this charity needs. There's like so many ways you can be an activist and advocate. You can like, so never ever think like, oh, I'm not someone who can stand up to a crowd and like tell people things. You can do it in your own way. And one of the things I'm excited to share is that after listening to Rebecca, I was so freaking inspired. I was like, how do I talk to this woman all the time? And I still haven't figured that out. So, but what I can tell you is she told us about Little Readers Big Change, that organization. And I know the power of reading for me when I was a little kid. I know what it did for me. I know what it did for my creativity and my imagination and all of that stuff. And so OPC's charity for this year is Little Readers Big Change. And I just found out our team that we are making our Q1 payment to that charity. So I can't tell you today how much that is because I wasn't told it yet. But I can tell you that we have them slotted. I'm so excited. We will be donating each quarter to them. And I think that is a really cool way to give back.
Yeah, every year we choose a new charity to support. And so we're stoked to be effectively helping bring books to schools.
Yeah. So thank you, Rebecca, for letting me know about this amazing charity. It was so cool to learn about it. And it's really cool that we can donate to that charity this year. I'm Leslie Logan.
And I'm Brad Crowell.
Thank you so much for listening to this. Shout out to Roxy Menzies, who is a guest, who is the one who connected Rebecca. She knew I would love her. I do a lot. And I'm really so excited to hear what your takeaways are. How are you going to use these tips in your life?
Yeah.
Please let the Be It Pod know. Let Row House Publishing know. Let Rebecca know. Like, tell her if any of these parts just really took, because you know what? It's really hard to run a company. And I bet you today she might just need to hear that, like, something she said just blew your mind, changed your life, inspired you to do something big. I'm sure it would make her feel incredibly amazing. So go do that. And until next time, be it till you see it.
Bye for now.
That's all I got for this episode of the Be It Till You See It podcast. One thing that would help both myself and future listeners is for you to rate the show and leave a review. And follow or subscribe for free wherever you listen to your podcasts. Also, make sure to introduce yourself over at the Be It Pod on Instagram. I would love to know more about you. Share this episode with whoever you think needs to hear it. Help us and others be it till you see it. Have an awesome day.
Be It Till You See It is a production of the Bloom Podcast Network. If you want to leave us a message or a question that we might read on another episode, you can text us at +1 310-905-5534 or send a DM on Instagram at Be It Pod.
It's written, filmed, and recorded by your host, Leslie Logan, and me, Brad Crowell.
It is transcribed, produced, and edited by the epic team at Desenio.co.
Our theme music is by Ali at Apex Production Music, and our branding by designer and artist Gianfranco Cioffi.
Special thanks to Melissa Solomon for creating our visuals.
Also to Angelina Herrico for adding all of our content to our website. And finally, to Meredith Root for keeping us all on point and on time.
All right, my coffee lovers. I got something for you. And I know most of you are coffee lovers because if you're listening to this, you have lots of things you're doing and coffee is something that you are taking with you everywhere you go. In fact, I know the Pilates instructors around here are taking coffee, kombucha, tea, and water into every class that they take. So this one is amazing because this is Pure Cafe Bold. They have two options for you. They've got black coffee and then they've got a caramel coffee latte, which is amazing. And here's why it's amazing. It's pre-brewed. So it comes in this amazing little packet and you can actually just take the packet in to your office, your work on a plane, like we've been doing. And then you pour hot water in and boom, you've got coffee. And this coffee actually has some amazing stuff. It's not just regular coffee. This coffee supports your immune system. It boosts cognitive function, increases stamina, it reduces stress, and it has cordyceps.
And what are cordyceps, you ask? Oh, that's right, Brad's here. Nature's powerful secret energizer, a rare species of fungi, cordyceps is renowned for its invigorating properties and centuries-old use in traditional medicine, packed with essential nutrients. This natural adaptogen boosts stamina and supports overall well-being. And seriously, it's actually super simple to make. Leslie and I have taken it camping.
Yeah.
I'll use it in the afternoon.
We're taking it everywhere because I'm tired of conferences and different hotels having burnt coffee.
It's 1,000 times better than the terrible coffee that you get on an airplane.
And the black coffee is like less than $1 a packet. So it's like, it's really kind of amazing.
Yeah. And I'm a big fan of the caramel myself.
He
the
does
caramel
like it.
Has a little bit of milk in it. So.
It has some dairy. So my dairy-free peeps, you can't do the caramel, but you can do the black, right?
Yeah. The black coffee is vegan, keto, gluten-free, non-GMO, nut-free, dairy-free, fat-free, and CGMP compliant.
All right. So here's the deal. You need to go to beitpod.com/coffee. BEITPOD.com/coffee.
And when you do that, you are going to be able to get some amazing coffee that we're loving. You can buy it as a one-time purchase, or you can actually get it as a subscription. There's even family packs. So if you know that you've got a lot of coffee drinkers in your household, this is amazing. And it's honestly cheaper than all the coffees we've been making at home. So we are so excited. I hope you are. Go to beitpod.com/coffee. And, you know, cheers to you and I. Every morning, we'll be drinking the same coffee together. Woo!